Why they care in Europe about the American jobs report that's on the way today.
Balance your life with dollar signs. Tune into Marketplace Money this weekend for a look at the issues affecting your wallet. Whether it's investing, renting an apartment, or sending your kid off to college, we'll help you navigate.
From APM in New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Global Perspective on Business and Economics. 8:30 Eastern, 7:30 Central, it's the government's June employment and unemployment reports. What's designed to give insight into the labor market may also guide future interest rates, since the Fed will be watching. So will Europe, apparently. Marketplace's Stephen Beer joins us from London live. Happy 4th of July weekend, Stephen.
We're not celebrating, David.
Indeed. But central bankers in Europe have been saying what that's been driving up the markets?
Well, two central bankers, the new head of the Bank of England and the head of the European Central Bank, chose yesterday to underline their independence from the US and the Fed's monetary policy. They both said, in effect, forget what's going on in the US, all this talk about tapering and tightening. We're going to be keeping money very cheap and easy for a long time yet. Here's Marcel Alexandrovich of Jefferies International Bank.
Both the Bank of England and the European Central Bank have tried to decouple themselves and try to decouple sort of domestic economies from what is happening in the US, to effectively sort of put forward an environment where people can be comfortable that interest rates are not rising for a very long time.
The Bank of England and the European Central Bank felt they had to attempt this decoupling because all the US talk of tighter money was beginning to push up borrowing costs here, threatening some very fragile economies on this side of the pond. The central bankers' reassurances had quite an impact. Stock markets across Europe soared yesterday.
So I'm clear on this. What happens if the U.S. jobs report is strong later today?
Well, we're in, of course, this Alice in Wonderland world where good news for the economy is bad news for investors. It could hit stock markets again. And we'll find out, in fact, whether Europe's central bankers have managed to decouple from the U.S., have achieved independence for Europe.
All right. Marketplace's Stephen Beard in London. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Samsung's stock is down 3.8% in South Korea this morning. The company said today it expects to make $8.5 billion in its second quarter. Now, that is a lot of Galaxy S4 smartphones and flat-screen TVs, but it's less than investment professionals were expecting. Now, let's do more numbers. After the FT100's 3% rise on Thursday, as Stephen was mentioning, it's currently up 0.4% today. The German DAX is down 0.25% after factory orders in Germany fell. In the San Francisco Bay Area, rapid transit workers will go back to work this afternoon, even as negotiations on wages, health care, and safety that led to a strike remain unresolved and under negotiation. And for those driving this morning, what about the new bridge between San Francisco and Oakland that's supposed to open on the next national holiday, Labor Day? KLW's Isabel Angel reports.
Officials set the Labor Day deadline 3 years ago when the Bay Bridge was running late. To speed things up, the contractors would get a $20 million incentive if they finished on time. Randy Rentschler is a spokesperson for the bridge.
All these incentives were built around the idea to get the new structure open as soon as possible because we know for sure that the existing Bay Bridge structure is vulnerable to an earthquake.
But in March, some of the huge bolts that hold together a crucial part of the new bridge snapped. There's a fear that the contractors would rush to finish the Bay Bridge before it's ready. But Rentschler says these new repairs aren't a factor in the $20 million incentive. William Ibbs teaches construction management at UC Berkeley.
Those type of incentives are very effective, and they're commonly used in the private sector. They're less commonly used in the public sector, but they're gaining acceptance.
Ibbs says incentives get tricky when the project is complicated, but he thinks this time it worked. Transit officials announce next week if the Bay Bridge will open on time. In San Francisco, I'm Isabel Angel for Marketplace.
Marketplace covers the world of economics. Are you ready for some Freakonomics? We're partnering with the team that writes about the hidden side of everything for a regular Marketplace Freakonomics story, podcast, and more. Just go to freakonomicsradio.com.
Sixth stage in the Tour de France from Aix-en-Provence, German André Greipel sprinted to win after 176 kilometers, 110 miles in ridiculous heat. This is more than enough to keep cycling fans glued to the TV. But what about more casual sports fans in this post-Lance Armstrong world? Christopher Wirth reports.
Scott Aurore is a big fan of the Tour de France. He hosts his own cycling podcast. But watching the Tour on TV last year, he admits at times even he lost interest.
Yeah, I was bored.
There just wasn't that excitement you want in a race.
It seemed to be more about getting from A to B.
That's because the Tour includes lots of long stages on flat roads that go on for miles.
Riders are just 2 minutes 30 ahead as they reach the intermediate sprint, 54.5 kilometers from the finish line.
Not exactly compelling television for non-cycling fans. The Tour does draw millions of viewers around the world. But Aurore says Tour organizers want to grow its audience in countries like the U.S. that are less crazy about cycling.
They are trying to look at ways of tinkering with their races in order to attract more people.
Like shorter stages and smaller, more competitive teams, changes that could make races more interesting to watch. Then there are all those pretty French mountains.
Mountain stages do attract a lot of viewers.
Dom Van Reith is a sports economist in Brussels. He says even fans watch to see those sweeping helicopter shots of the Pyrenees and Alps.
As we start the descent now from just below the clouds, we're now diving to the valley.
It's armchair travel through France's stunning scenery.
People watch the Tour de France as a kind of a substitute for real vacation.
That could be why this year's tour started on the mountainous Mediterranean island of Corsica. But the question is, if cycling can stop doping, will there be fewer really popular riders who win year after year? Throughout his career, Lance Armstrong was a big boost to the tour's American TV audience. Armstrong's former teammate, Jonathan Vaughters, says cycling needs to ditch its obsession with reigning champions.
When you have the same guy winning over and over again, quite frankly, I find it boring.
Yes, there's that boring word again. Vaughters says the excitement of not knowing who will win the Tour de France should attract more viewers over time. In Paris, I'm Christopher Wirth for Marketplace.
Dow futures in the U.S. are up sharply now. It'll be a trading session dominated by the unemployment numbers in about an hour and a half. In New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
Hey there, I'm Bridget, co-host of Million Bazillion, Marketplace's podcast for kids about money. I want to tell you about our email newsletter course, Million Bazillion Academy. In this new and improved course, we'll help your kids learn about crypto, credit cards, and inflation in just 6 weeks. Each lesson comes with a podcast episode, a fun cartoon, discussion questions, and an activity that lets kids apply what they're learning in the real world. You can start at any time and work at your own pace. Sign up today at marketplace.org/academy.